Hey, thank you, Kane. It's Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5 on a Tuesday. Glad you're here. Quentin Hilliard joins us in just a second. A segment of the show brought to you by The Maids. Referred for a reason, and I can tell you so many reasons, and we're pretty new with The Maids now, just a month in, and I can give you many reasons to go with The Maids. So right now, you can get a free estimate with The Maids by calling 344-6626, 344-6626. I was thinking about this. This is the time you can stress test how good The Maids are, because you've got the additional mess in your home of the holidays, right? You've got, we're past the Halloween cleanup, getting ready for Thanksgiving, then getting all the Christmas decorations out, putting things up. You got family coming in. This is the time you got to have your house looking perfect. And that's why you get the gift of clean and the gift of time when you use The Maids. So the time you would spend before cleaning the house, getting it ready for Uncle Merle and Aunt Elda, you don't have to do that. You can get the decorations done for Christmas or Thanksgiving. And do this right now. Get a free estimate. See what The Maids can do for you. 344-6626. We're very happy customers as they have prepped the house we're moving into, and they will help us get the house we're moving out of ready for sale as well. Get that free estimate. They're referred for a reason. See what we're talking about with The Maids. 344-6626. The Maids. All right, it is a Tuesday, and we check in with Quinn Hilliard from QuinnHilliard.com, also the author of the Mad Jones Trilogy, available now at Amazon, and a man who is a prolific writer for the Washington Examiner and other platforms, plus a big-headed Saints fan these days, right? Yep. Right, Quinn? Yeah, is that what you are?
Who that say they're going to beat them Saints?
Yeah, there you go. This is
who that?
Yeah, well, you know, that's if you get too excited, that's when it all fall apart. But I won't hold you to that. I do want to talk a bit, and this is kind of hinging off very much what you've been writing lately, and a little bit what you were talking about last week. And you're talking about what the general tenor of politics these days?
Yes, indeed. I've got a multiple columns out in the last several weeks that sort of stress the same theme in different ways, but that is that, look, when I was growing up, politicians, people in public office, were people that we looked up to, we might even idolize, like we idolized sports figures that were good people like Willie Mays and Bart Starr. We idolize them for their character, for their public character, as well as, you know, for just being able to get the job done. And that they showed good public character, and you could expect that they could show public character and get the job done. They could be tough but still be likable, tough but still be sunny and optimistic, tough but still be honest and not lie all the time. And I've given a number of examples in recent weeks. Ronald Reagan, Jack Kemp, the guy I grew up with, former Louisiana Governor Dave Treen. But the examples go on. We should be a good enough people that we can elect people. Nobody's perfect, but we can elect people who have good public character and still say, you know what, we can get by. We don't have to sink to the tawdry level that both sides have sunk to today.
Okay, but we get the republic we deserve. In other words, those are the people that win because we the people vote for them.
But I'm saying that it is a mistake to think that that's the only way to win. I've got a column called "You Don't Have to Play Dirty to Win," and just because we had in 2012 a nice guy, Mitt Romney, and the nice guy lost, it's just horrendous logic to believe that nobody who is a good guy can win. That's like saying, okay, somebody who has dark hair lost to a blonde-haired guy, therefore we should never again try somebody who has dark hair. I mean, it's a teeny sample to draw a broad conclusion from, and there have been good, admirable people who have won elections in the United States for decades. Jack Kemp, Ronald Reagan, Hubert Humphrey almost became president. He was vice president. He was a senator for years. He was a Democrat, but he was a darn good guy. America hasn't suddenly gotten so much worse in the last 20 years that we have to sink to the level of name-calling, of calling the other side treasonous or un-American, which Nancy Pelosi started, by the way. So I'm not just criticizing Trump. We can do better than this. And so I've got a bunch of columns at quinnhillier.com that go into various aspects of this. And certainly we don't have to call people human scum. I am your resident local human scum, according to the president. We don't need to do that.
All right. So let me roll a couple things by you. Number one, as much as I have disdain for mudslinging and the name calling, it's to say this is some new creation would not look at, I mean, early in our republic, we had Jefferson Adams. You can go back and look at the mudslinging that's gone on in elections since the founding of our republic. So to say this is something new, now is it spread more quickly? And instead of just waiting for somebody to print some papers, yeah, it's digital, it's Twitter, it's all those things. But are we just the same messaging, but just more platforms for it?
No. Look, I'm not saying that politics was ever namby-pamby.
What would you say to Jefferson or Adams when they had,
Yeah. I'm not saying that politics was always namby-pamby. Politics has always been a tough business. But I'm also saying that you don't have to sink to the level we've sunk at, that there are other ways to do it. Ronald Reagan showed you can win by doing it a different way. It doesn't require the down in the gutter stuff. Sometimes, honest negative politics works, and I'm not saying you shouldn't criticize the other side, but I'm saying that public character matters. That in the long run, the country is better off when people at least aspire to higher public character. And I'm saying that you can do that and win, and not only that, but in the long run, it's easier to win if you do that because you turn less people off and it's easier to build winning coalitions.
But you almost would need some sort of armistice on all sides because, a lot of the things that will refer back and forth, like, oh, this politician said that, president said this, Pelosi said that, Schiff said this. It's because one side punches at the other. One of the things that people love about President Trump is he punches back. He doesn't just sit and say, well, it's decorum says I shouldn't respond to this.
And I'm saying that works for Trump. It doesn't mean that that is the only way to win. We've got an example from Alabama. In this decade, in 2010, Bradley Byrne and Tim James got down close to the gutter, but they certainly got nasty. They started throwing haymakers at each other back and forth and back and forth, and idiot Mr. supposed nice guy, Bentley, just sat there and acted like the nice guy, and the public got sick of the fighting, and they went with a guy they thought was a nice guy, and he became governor for two terms. The example proves my point that there are other ways to win, and it's how you play it.
They should be more like Bentley?
To say that the only way to win is the way Trump is winning is as stupid as to say that you have to have a blonde-haired guy because a blonde-haired guy won last time. It's a small sample. It's an individual sample. It means nothing.
Okay, so another thing I want to run by you on this is people that we're talking about in history here that you're pointing out as examples of good guys. Could we just not have, and I don't know, I'm not trying to impugn character that I don't know, but I think it's a fair question. Do we not know everything about them? In today's world where you 24-hour news cycle, which is cliched, but the amount of coverage and the way it's done on a major screen or a small screen through digital or social media, the fact that there's constantly prying into every part of these people's lives, if that would have happened throughout the history of our republic, would we have more figures like this that you'd hear, oh, here's what they really said behind the closed doors? I mean, let's go back to some LBJ stuff. Let's go back to some Nixon stuff. Let's go back to stuff that happened when the when the cameras were off and what these people were saying. They were no angels.
Now, did I ever say they were angels? In fact, I said at the very beginning, these people aren't perfect, but they aspire to high public character. Nobody is saying that you have to be perfect. But again, I keep going back to Ronald Reagan. Everybody that has since come out, in all the years since he's left us, all these multitudinous books written about him, all basically say the same thing, that behind the scenes, he was pretty much the same guy that he was in public. He was kind, he was thoughtful, he was a little distracted and he didn't necessarily focus in on you, but he was a genial person. He was, and you know, he after he was married to Nancy, there's not a single bit of evidence that he ever slept around on her or anything like that. He was basically a good guy. Jack Kemp was a football player, and he had his flaws, and he was he never became president, but he changed the entire world economically.
Now, Kemp was important for capitalism. I agree. I mean, that's...
And Jack Kemp, he had a temper. In private, he could say caustic things, but he was basically a very upbeat, sunny, aspirational guy. He loved human beings. He loved going in with people. He loved interacting with people. And you could barely get him to say anything bad about anybody other than communists, okay? And he changed the world economically. You can be a success and still aspire to high public character and to decency.
Quinn, I know you're talking about...
And it can be done again.
I know you're talking about politicians in general here, but let's talk about that 2016 election and Trump's win. Would you attribute most of his vote to his personal attacks on his enemies, or would you attribute it to the policies that he was laying out at all these campaigns and kind of putting the values that a lot of conservatives hadn't seen in a while to the forefront?
Well, look, that's part of the point. The policies for a big part of the electorate, policies matter. For a huge part of Trump's electorate, they voted for him despite his personality and his bumptiousness rather than because of it. They voted for him because he was smart enough to make a very, very public pledge about judges, and they cared about judges. And then a lot of them voted for him because he was running against the single least attractive, I'm not talking physically, I'm talking politically, the single least attractive candidate any party has put up in our living memory, and that is Hillary Clinton. So there are all sorts of reasons that people vote for public figures. There's never one reason, and to say that the one reason he won is because he was willing to get tough and be mean is just absurd. I'm not saying that wasn't appealing to a significant proportion of his voters. I'm also saying it turned off a significant proportion of voters that otherwise might have voted for a Republican that might have given a different Republican a bigger victory. And I'm not talking about being namby-pamby Mr. Nice Guy like Jeb Bush, who, by the way, I opposed at every step of the way, or like Mitt Romney. I'm saying that there are different ways to do it, and if you can do it in a different way, then by golly, we should, because we're better people than this.
Yeah, but people will turn around, I think, and say, hey, I want somebody that is transparent. Lord knows, that cliche. But, what you see is what you get. You talk about people that behind, they have the... And I'm a champion of decorum and acting right, but I could be on my own island. That somebody who goes in front of the cameras and acts a certain way, presidential, and as soon as the door closes, is completely different. Then what are we being sold there other than an act?
But what I'm saying is, how about people that aren't completely different? Ronald Reagan, Jack Kemp, my guy in Louisiana, Dave Treen, the guy that I worked for years, Bob Livingston, who had a marital problem, but otherwise exemplary public character. If anybody ever
like
handed
he didn't do the dishes or something,
you know, a payoff, he would literally throw them out of his office. Okay, and he would have been Speaker of the House, except that a stupid thing that he did 10 years earlier jumped up and bit him. Nobody is demanding human perfection, but to say that you have to have public squalor to win is absurd. And I think we need to start thinking, okay, let's reward. I keep saying public character. I'm not talking about a facade, but I'm talking about public standards, not just of being nice, but of upholding public norms, so that kids who were like me growing up in a family that was sort of close to this Dave Treen guy I keep talking about, you could look up to them and admire them and say, I want to be like that. Just like you'd look up to Bart Starr and say, God, he's a great player, and you know what? He's a good man, too. Why can't we have somebody who's both effective and good?
Well, I hope we get an answer to that, and the answer to the positive. One day we find that person who can win. Who, believe me, if I have a choice for the most conservative person who can win, who is a nice, decent person, and the one who is not, I would always default to the nice, decent person. I think most people would as well. The one that can win.
I want tough. You can be tough and decent at the same time, is my point.
There you go. Quentin, remind folks, then when we come to the website, read your work, pick up the trilogy. How do they do it?
The trilogy is at Amazon.com. Most of my work is at Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner. All of my work, like my guest column for CNN, you can eventually see at QuinnHillier.com.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Check it out, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Quinn. Right, got some calls. Y'all can hop on at 343-0106. Coming right back. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody.
So we spoke a little off the air. What are you doing right now? I know we can get some great new vehicles at McConnell Automotive and pre-owned, but how do those pre-owned vehicles show up in the lot?
That's right. I'm sitting here online right now in Orlando buying a few cars and trying to get this inventory back up. Well, like I said, we've had a great couple of months in used cars and new cars. I got some okay trades, but I'm trying to get more stuff in here, a little cheaper cars, somewhere underneath 15 grand, somewhere around that name. And the the strike's over with GM, and all the stuff starting to that we had ordered is starting to get built right now, so they'll be coming in here in the next couple of weeks. And you want to look at the inventory, you don't want to have to get out, check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com, or also we'll buy your car. Wow. I mean, I'm buying cars right now, like I said, in Orlando. I'll buy them right off the street. Just send me the VIN, call me, send me the VIN and the mileage, and we'll give you a price on it, too. I think Gene bought one yesterday, actually. So we're always looking for cars so we can help everybody out.
And you got some great new vehicles on the lot, too. That big, bad diesel's pretty popular right now.
Oh, golly, the new 2020 diesel, the three-quarter ton and the one ton, I mean, we just can't keep them. When they get here, that's why the used car department gets all the trades, and we've got some great little new diesels out there, low mileage. So got two 18s just traded in with 20,000 miles on them. Nice diesels. They're all Denalis, and got a little lift on them, got some nice size tires on them, so come check them out.
All right. Thank you, Louie. Have a good one.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, Dade 40, FM Talk 106.5, and the phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll go to the phones and also text line. This text from earlier, Quinn is out of touch with this generation of politics. Trump is what people want, not a 1980s campaign. You know, I'm in this place I stay where I'm like in the gray. I want, if you could give me somebody who was trying to change Washington, like President Trump's doing, you know, at the same time had, I got to tell you, and I've said it since the word go, I know many of y'all are, I'm not enamored with the sideshow for President Trump. I realize he's punching back and get those things, I get it, but if I could have that person do those same things with more decorum, I would say yes. Now, can you do both? I don't know. So you want to, you know, you want to get the, you want to get this, the effect, but the vessel, you know, may not be, you know, the person that you think would be the example of a politician. But that's why I said to Quinn, though, you can go back to the founding of our republic, and there's been mudslinging. It is the nature of the politics. But yes, I do. I am realistic. I am not naive, and I realize how the work gets done. But yeah, if you could give me this perfect world and say, would you want somebody who's more diplomatic and who's more of you know, a on all sides, all parts, more exemplary of a you know, a standard or a role model for the kids? Yeah, sure, I would want that. But what's more important, that or getting the work done that President Trump's doing?
Well, if you look at each election, like a game or a battle, that someone's got to go out and win that game or battle. No game is going to be the same through the years, and just tactically, in 2016, I mean, if you remember, people were handing over the president. They were crowning's the wrong word, but they were giving Hillary Clinton.
Oh, there's people that want to crown on both sides, by the way.
There is, but I mean, Hillary Clinton was a foregone conclusion in 2014 and 2015. I mean, looking back at some shows that you could stream now from back then, before Trump won the presidency, they were already calling Hillary Clinton the president in some of these shows. And I think that the president came along in a time there wasn't really any super strong Republican candidates going into 2016, and they were, Republicans, conservatives were just getting beat up and beat up and beat up by the left. And then Trump came along, one of the first to really strike out and start fighting back against the Democrats that he was running against. And on top of that, he was touting a lot of issues that conservatives hold dearly. He was putting America first. He was talking about winning some of these trade, or putting some of these trade deals to the side that have been bad for America. And he was talking about our troops and putting our military back to the front, and putting a lot of money into that. And a lot of conservatives love those values and hold them dearly, and the fact that he was willing to fight back was kind of just the cherry on top. And I think that's why a lot of people voted for Trump, and he's got another election to win here in 2020, and I think that's why he's still going after his enemies the way that he is.
I'll tell you what, we'll go to the phones now, and let me just add this to ruin everything you just said.
Yes.
Yeah, those ideals that were so popular with the Americans in 2016 that I saw happening, those were the ideas of one-time Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions. All right, to the phones, and let's check in with our buddy Taxman, downtown Fly Creek. Hey, man.
Sean, I think what Quinn was talking about really is the word civility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, civility is politeness in speech and action. To give you an example, on the Senate Judiciary Committee, there's Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. He's always well-spoken and very polite. And on that same committee is Senator Booker, which is very rude and crude. That's what we're talking about. We need civility.
Yep. I would like it. And if civility can win, then I would choose civility. If you give me two candidates that can win this race with conservative ideals, and there's one that has a higher level of civility, I like that too.
See, in the days of the Greek classic philosophers, Socrates and Aristotle, civility was most important. But you don't see civility in our politics. They go to the lowest common denominator, which is bad.
Why is that? Because they're...
It's human nature.
They're rewarded for it, too, aren't they, Taxman?
Yeah,
they're elected.
Rewarded. You tell those people what they want to hear. You get the crowd stirred up. That's what the media does. Media believes in confusion, confrontation, and then you just fight it out. That's why I have no use for the big media. That's the way they operate.
So much truth to what Taxman's saying. I'll say this, that the drama drives the discussion.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of these things I've lamented, that so much is we don't talk policy anymore. And I know, I'm a nerd. I get it. That it's all about cult of personality. It's all, people that don't like the president. President's bad. It's not, they don't ever talk policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even talking about tax rates or foreign policy. Every attack is about the person. And then President Trump is attacking back, and he sticks with that theme, and he's attacking, it's Nancy Pelosi, it's Shifty Schiff. It's this name calling that's on all sides. And what they're not doing is discussing the actual policies.
Yeah,
that comes like third on the list when they would get into the actual policies.
And you and tax,
but that's what works.
Just answered it. Policy is boring, and
it is. It's for nerds like me.
When you look at wrestling, boxing, MMA, the fights that sell the most are the ones where they're calling each other, each other's names before.
Yeah,
the
like
fight.
Some Olympic boxing, that kind of stuff. How many people watch that?
Not as many as
seven.
Not as many that
UFC,
tune into a Conor McGregor fight.
7 million.
When he talks trash the whole time. And
right.
That sells for media, too. And that's why, not all journalists are out there. A lot of journalists, I believe, want civility. A lot of true journalists.
Yeah.
But the ones that make the money on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Washington Post, all these huge media conglomerates that just are raking in the cash,
mm-hmm.
It's because of this drama. And if you don't think that they help stoke some of that when they're in the press rooms and
sure.
and calling for sources and things like that, you're wrong, because that's what's making them the money.
It's successful. And when you want to blame somebody, blame yourself, because they're only successful because there's an audience for it. All right, this from Katrina. She says, I'm so sick of politicians getting in office and then just playing nice while the Dems steamrolled over them. John Boehner, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, completely ignoring the base that put them there. Finally, an outsider comes along and hears me. Now, this is key here. Hears me, says Katrina, and many others completely previously forgotten and unheard. The president's New York City style is more coarse than a Southern girl may like sometimes, but he is showing backbone and leading other conservatives to give as good as they get from the libs for a change. With most of the media overt cheerleaders for the libs, our guy knows how to get his voice and ours heard. Society is more coarse than it used to be as a whole, by the way. I can agree. Most of Quinn's examples were from days gone by.
That's a really good text.
Well written.
I think a lot of this that we're seeing now in today's politics is because of the phrase "drop the mic." When that mm-hmm. came out, drop the mic meant whoever got this final last stinging statement in there could drop the mic and they won the argument. Are Americans too dumb anymore to realize that you don't have to be the meanest person to win a debate or a discussion, that sometimes you can be civil and speak truth and still just, walk circles around whoever your opponent is in the debate or whatever election you're up for? It's whoever ends up with the meanest, stingiest line that people feel like is the one who won whatever debate. That's what we always look for at some of these Democrat debates and Republican debates when they have them, is who dropped the mic the most up there mm-hmm. on the stage.
That's right. They score that. Hey, speaking of debates, I'm going to pivot here, right? Covered up on the 21st of this month. We just went, we're up with the folks in Chickasaw yesterday doing a walkthrough at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. We are along with, and I guess we can say it now, it's now official, our news partners at WKRG. So FM Talk 106.5 at WKRG. We are bringing you the AL1 congressional debate. So there are five people that have qualified to run for the seat that will be vacated by Bradley Byrne on the Republican side. I think there are three on the Democrat side, but this is the Republican debate, and we are going to do this live on FM Talk 106.5, also live on WKRG, plus all our associated social media platforms. This is happening starting at 6 on the 21st. That's a Thursday night, because y'all know, in Mobile Baldwin County, if you're going to do something, you do it on a Thursday night.
That's right.
That's right. You just stay away from college football, stay away from Friday night activities, stay away from church night. It's Thursday night's the night you do it. And so we are doing this debate on Thursday the 21st. Now, this is J.C. Davis Auditorium in Chickasaw. You just get off on Wesley. It takes you like a minute and a half after you get off the interstate to get there to the J.C. Davis Auditorium. I want you all to be there and hear these candidates who want to be your next member of the House of Representatives, the AL1 rep debate. five candidates. We'll talk more about that as we get closer, talk to all the different candidates beforehand, kind of get a pregame show. But this is going to run from 6 to 8 at least on FM Talk, and we'll probably encourage you to get there in the 5 o'clock hour to get your seats and be there. But once again, put that on your to-do list. Get to see the people that want to be your member of the House of Representatives from the Republican side in person. See it in person. Be part of politics, not just a not just watching it through a TV. See it in person. We'll be up there. But, yeah, you will be able to listen to it on FM Talk 106.5 and watch it on WKRG coming up Thursday, November 21st, starting at 6.
And a nice big parking lot out there, too, right?
Yeah,
plenty
two,
of
room. There's one on the side, one out front. Yeah, so it's a good deal. So we're going to be there. And, by the way, talking about all the places we're going to be tomorrow. Favorite place to do my midday show will be on the Fantail of the USS Alabama from noon to 1, and then 1 to 2, Scuttlebutt will be on. And we're going to be at the Civic Center getting ready for the Veterans Day Parade on Monday. We're doing our show live from downtown. More details on the way, and we will be right back. Right, 854 FM Talk, 106.5, and Mobile Morning. Speaking of divisiveness out there, the conversation, and Terry, nod to the hat to you. I'll get to your text in just a second. I was thinking the same. But our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question that we put up yesterday during the midday after hearing all these polls out that said the majority, no, it was 49%, 49%, 52%. I think it was a Wall Street Journal NBC poll said 49% wanted the president impeached, 49% in the Fox News poll, and like 52% in the MSN.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, so off the top of my head, not bad. can't remember what I got to do later today, but I can remember those things. We put our own unscientific poll up, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, should President Trump be impeached? Right now, 76% of y'all say no. 24% yes. You can vote online, front page of fmtalk1065.com. And while I'm talking about 1-800-GOT-JUNK, as we get ever closer to Thanksgiving and the holidays ahead, be thinking about the fact that your kinfolk are going to show up at your house and want to come in. It's just how it is. I mean, it's a very strange situation where you have to hold them off on the porch and go, well, you know, it's good to see y'all. I know it's been 6 years. No, we can't come in. No, you can't.
It's not like my Boston Terrier. You can't just put them on a pile of old clothes and let them sleep there.
That's right. No. You got to have room for them, and you want them to come in the house. And listen, if you've got junk, if you used to have a guest room, that's now a junk room. Like, a lot of us have a junk drawer, but sometimes you get a junk room. The stuff is in there because you don't use it. Get rid of the stuff. The stuff in your house you haven't touched for a year, hadn't touched for 2 years, unless it's some precious antique or something to the family. Get that junk gone. Get some room in your house to spread out and get family in during the holidays. Do that with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And Trey, my buddy Trey, who's been running 1-800-GOT-JUNK for 11 years in Mobile and Baldwin counties, can get that done for you at your home, outside your home. I mean, he's gotten rid of storage sheds, swing sets, above ground pools. They can handle that. Stuff up in your attic. You don't want to go up the creaky ladder stair spring thing up there. Hey, they go up there and get it. You got a storage unit you've been paying on. You don't even know what's in the thing. Get the stuff cleaned out, save the money, and use 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or like the name says, pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment and see what we've been talking about. All right. By the way, we have brought to an end the poll from so there's one poll, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK poll that's on our website. Then there's
a civilized poll.
There's a ridiculous poll that I had put up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 yesterday after the McDonald's CEO story fired after admitting a consensual relationship with an employee. Mm-hmm. They didn't reveal a name, so we were wondering who y'all thought it might be. And Twitter limits you to four choices.
Yes.
And I suggested these four, although we had many more. It could have been.
Yeah, but maybe should have, hindsight's 20/20. Probably should have done this as a bracket-style challenge.
Well, maybe we'll just put up another round.
We could. I think you boiled it down to the best four, though, really.
We said Mayor McCheese,
yeah.
Grimace, Birdie, and Ronald McDonald. Y'all think it's Grimace. In the voting, 24 hours of voting here. With 160 votes in there, and Grimace,
yeah, the head
38% of that's who y'all think the relationship was between McDonald's CEO and Grimace. Ronald McDonald, the chief clown officer, right?
Yeah, CCO.
Yes, came in at 24%, then tied Mayor McCheese and Birdie at 19%. But we may put up another bracket full of people here.
Yeah, for, and see, I think...
For characters.
If this relationship were between the McDonald's CEO and Ronald McDonald, we would see it would actually be Ronald McDonald that would have been let go, because he would hold the position of power in that relationship.
For sure.
And he would be holding that power over McDonald's CEO. So, to me, that knocks him out of the running right there. I really think it was Mayor McCheese trying to work his way up to the top of the... I mean, you don't mention him alongside the big hitters there.
Who was the whistleblower?
Oh, that was Officer Big Mac, for sure. He's the one that let everyone know.
All right. We will do this all again. More live local talk starting at noon with Midday Mobile. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. You can stream us there, plus through the TuneIn Radio app and Simple Radio. Check it out on your smartphone today.